This morning's scripture is 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 15, page 1854. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. While evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus.
If I were to ask you, if you want to be godly, would you say yes? Is this something you actually want? To become godlier. Now, when I say godly, I don't mean becoming a goody two-shoes, nor do I mean becoming a self-righteous religious person. When I say godly, I mean it just like the Bible means it, becoming more and more like God. Now, there are some ways we cannot become more like God. We cannot become more like God in his omnipotence, in his omniscience, in his ability to be everywhere at once. But in other ways, we can. We can become more like God in our goodness, in our morality, in our love. To become godly, become more and more like God in our goodness and morality and our love, also means becoming more like Jesus himself. Living a life of service, desiring justice for the oppressed, full of compassion and mercy, bound to the truth, bound to God, courageous and upright, able to speak the truth in love, which means knowing what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. To be like this, to be godly, is basically to be who God designed you and created you to be. The very best version of yourself. So by show of hands, how many of you would like to be godly in that sense of the word?
Amen.
All right. As Christians, we should all desire that. We should all desire to be godly. And do you know what that means? It means everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now note that it doesn't say some, it says everyone. No, it also doesn't say only those who attain godliness. It just says those who want to live a godly life. It says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And I guess we shouldn't be too surprised. Jesus himself told us this in John 15, the Last Supper. He said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you as well. And Paul knows this truth of Jesus firsthand. In our passage today, he mentions his sufferings and his persecutions he underwent in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. And here you can see the three of them. This is in modern-day Turkey. These are places that Paul visited on his missionary journeys. Now, he doesn't go into detail about what happened there because he knows Timothy already knows. Because Lystra, that's where Timothy grew up. That was Timothy's hometown. That's where Timothy lived when Paul Paul underwent persecution. But we, even though we weren't there, we know what happened because we have the book of Acts. And in Acts 13 and 14 and 16, we learn that in Antioch, Paul's message about Jesus was winning over many converts to the point that the Jewish religious authorities were filled with jealousy and rage toward Paul and his companions. And they stirred up the whole region against them and got the secular authorities to expel them from the area. And so they traveled from Antioch over to Iconium. and preach the gospel there as well. And they were even able to perform miraculous signs and wonders by God's grace. And once again, the leaders rose up against Paul, this time Jews and Gentile leaders, which is odd because they usually don't work together. They don't like each other, but they teamed up in this instance. And so off they went to Lystra, Timothy's hometown. Here, Paul was able to heal a lame man, a man who was lame from birth, lame in his feet. And he was able to stand up, and everyone was amazed. To the point the crowd was so amazed, they thought Paul was a god. And they tried to worship him. They tried to offer sacrifices to him. And Paul quickly said, enough of this nonsense. Let me teach you about Jesus. And his message, again, was well, well received. But once again, trouble. Jews from Antioch and Iconium came to Lystra and persuaded the crowd against Paul. So the same crowd that had literally tried to worship him ended up doing this to him, Acts 14:19. They stoned Paul, dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. I mean, can you imagine that? Doing ministry in such an environment that people are actively trying to kill you. Now, thankfully, if I go 5-10 minutes over, you guys are all, I might get a little long, but no one's picking up stones yet, all right? Paul was pelted with rocks to the point they thought Paul was dead. They dragged what they thought was his corpse outside the city to leave it there to rot. So yeah, Paul knew Jesus' words all too well. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And so now Timothy, a follower of Christ, the pastor in Ephesus, is also experiencing hardships and persecution. But thankfully, the persecution is not coming from Jewish or Gentile authorities, nor are they coming in the form of public stonings. Instead, they are coming from within the church itself. Or at least those who claim to be following Christ. False teachers had risen up in the church, and they are challenging Timothy's message. They're claiming that Jesus never really rose from the dead. And neither will you. The best we can hope for is a spiritual resurrection, a symbolic one. But not a literal resurrection from the dead, which of course is the hope of Christians. And, of course, these false teachers were leading good Christians away from God and causing all sorts of headaches for Paul, or for Timothy. Like Paul, Timothy knows all too well Jesus' words, "No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you as well." And that is why Paul writes here in verse 12 today, "Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted." If it happened to Jesus, if it happened to Paul, if it happened to Timothy, and it's promised to happen to us, it will happen to us if we want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. Now, we want to give Jesus credit here, though. All right, he doesn't pull a bait and switch to get followers. He doesn't promise riches and happiness and health if you start to follow him. That would be a good selling point. You'd probably get a lot of followers that way. But of course, you might have to question the motives of those followers. Are they really following Jesus for Jesus' sake, or are they following Jesus for their own sake? There's a movement out there today called the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel is also known as the health and wealth gospel. Its most popular name, though, is the word of faith movement. This is a perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it claims that God rewards increases in your faith with increases in wealth and health and happiness. So the more you have faith, the more God's going to bless you. So if you're sick, you better start practicing faith because that's the reason you're sick. You're not practicing faith. So imagine those who are poor and suffering. Well, it's their own fault, isn't it? Man, they should have more faith. If they are able to have more faith, God would bless them. He's just waiting. I mean, do you see the perversion of this sort of teaching? And so you are aware, I'm going to give you the names and faces of these actual people so you can know to avoid them. Unfortunately, a lot of this garbage you can find on religious channels, on TV. So if you see people like Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar, that's literally his name, Creflo Dollar, all right, Paula White, T.D. Jakes, or the worst of them all, Joel Osteen, turn the channel. These are false teachers. These are TV evangelists trying to scam you. They're going to ask you to send them money. You send them $10, God's going to give you $100. He's not, okay? But they'll be $10 richer. So the idea of false teachers is not something just in Paul's day. This is still happening today as well. The teachings might be different, but these are false teachings, all right? Jesus in the Bible did not hide the fact that following God can and often does lead to difficulties and persecution. Think of Jesus. My good Jesus, if you only had a little more faith, you wouldn't have been crucified. Don't get me wrong. Following God also leads to peace and joy and comfort as well. But it doesn't mean the removal of all your problems. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, no matter the amount of faith you exercise. And the reason that is given in our next verse, verse 13. It says, evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. We live in a fallen world where our innate natural desires are warped in on themselves, so that human nature seeks to protect itself, seeks to advance itself above and beyond looking out for each other. And above and beyond that, there are real, actual, spiritual, evil forces out there who not only are out to get you, but they like to fan the flames of selfishness and self-centeredness in us and in everyone else around us. Now, given this truth that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, how is it that we are still shocked and amazed when it actually happens, especially when it happens to us? We get all ruffled up and like, oh, I cannot believe this. I cannot believe that. Didn't expect that. Well, we should have. When you are excluded by so-called friends from some outing or gathering because of your new Christian faith, when you are vehemently spoken against because you hold to the historic Orthodox Christian teaching on marriage or gender, when someone talks about you behind your back because of the joy you have in your life with your relationship with God, when people leave a nasty comment on a pro-life, anti-abortion post you display on social media, when people tell others how you are now a religious nut because you go to church so often, when others assume, oh, they think they're so much better than me because they're religious now. Remember Jesus' words. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you as well. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, having made the point of this truth, the question is, well, what do you do about it? What are we supposed to do about it if we're promised that persecutions will come our way if we try to live a godly life in Christ Jesus? Well, Paul tells us in verse 14. And in fact, this is the only command in our passage today. You've got one command. This is it. Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Continue in what you have learned and become convinced of. Here, Paul is referring to two things, although the first is derived from the second, so it's really referring to just one thing. Now, last week, Brad spoke about, and this is the passage from before, about the false teachers. Last week's passage all about the false teachers and what they look like, how they live their lives, their character, their behavior. And it wasn't good. And today, Paul contrasts them with himself. And he says to Timothy, starting in verse 10, he says, you, however, you know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings. This is the first thing Paul wants Timothy to continue in what he has learned. Specifically, learn from the true Christian mentors Timothy has had in his life. Paul is like, you know me, Timothy. You know what I believe. You know the way I've lived out those beliefs. And you know I wasn't in them for selfish reasons, like the false teachers are in it for fame and money. I suffer for what I believe. I was in it for suffering, apparently. Timothy, continue to follow in what you have learned from me. But it's not just himself only that Paul wants Timothy to follow, because he also says this in verse 14. He says, "But as for you, continue what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures." And who was teaching him the Holy Scriptures from infancy? It was his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois, who we first met in chapter 1. Paul was praising them back in chapter 1. Paul's telling Timothy, follow in their footsteps as well. But notice that what really Paul's telling Timothy to do is not so much as follow Paul or follow his mom or follow his grandma for the sake of following them. No, Paul's telling Timothy to follow him, follow people like Eunice and Lois, because they are following, they are obeying the Holy Scriptures, God's Word. That is the primary thing that Paul is instructing Timothy and us to do to be ready for persecution, to help us get through persecution, to help us understand when we have been persecuted. Specifically, he says, continue in what you have learned of the Scriptures. Continue in what you have learned. Now, this, of course, it means you got to learn something, all right? It's not enough to just show up and be present at a church service. You know, I know not too long ago, and maybe Terry and Karen and other of you who grew up in the Catholic Church will remember this. Back in the day, the masses, were they in English or what were they in?
Latin.
They were in Latin. Now, I'm guessing most of us do not speak or understand Latin. So you go to a Latin mass, you're just sitting there because you don't know what's being said, right? Well, thankfully, they changed that with Vatican II, and mass today is spoken in the dialects and languages of that locality, wherever they're located in the world. And that's a good thing, because you want to be able to learn. I've been very excited. I've been leading the Thursday night Young Family Bible Study, and it has been so wonderful, because that group, and I see a couple of you are here today, are just so excited to learn. Like, they come very eager to learn about Jesus and about their faith and about Christianity. And one of them, who's here today, I won't say which of you, said to me, you know what, we gotta like do like a Christianity 101. I just want to go back and like learn all this stuff. And I said, that's awesome. And in fact, that's what we're going to do starting next fall. And so I ought to brag on them a little bit, because it's been such a fun group to do, to lead, because there's such a hunger and thirst to learn more about their faith. Now, friends, I hope that's you as well. No matter how long you have been a Christian, there should always be in us a desire to learn more about God, learn more about our Christian faith. You know, may that never grow cold in any of us. And if it has, then get yourself to a Bible study. There's always interesting discussions and wonderful questions raised. Or get yourself a good Christian book that's going to challenge and grow you, and I'd be happy to recommend something. Continue in what you have learned. So besides learning something, the other key word in that phrase is the word continue. Continue in what you have learned. Now, this means more than just not giving up on your faith, not departing from true teaching and following false teachers. It means to continue to live out your faith as well. Because again, it's not just enough to know stuff about God. We're told in James, even the demons know stuff about God, and they don't follow and worship him. We have to live it out. Like Paul says in verse 10, he says, "You, however, know all about my teaching." All right, so he begins with his teaching, but listen to the rest of what he says. My way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, suffering. Yes, he roots everything in his Christian teaching, what he knows, but the rest of it is all about how he lives out what he knows, how he lives out what he believes. In fact, can we really say someone believes something if it doesn't really impact them? If I say I believe in exercising and eating right, but you never see me exercise and my car is littered with Big Mac wrappers, you might say, hey, look at that. I don't know if you actually believe that. That's just information you're saying. Friends, God, Jesus, your faith is not just some information. It is a belief. In fact, it ought to be the central belief in your life that impacts and informs every other part of your life. And as you keep that as your focus, as you continue in what you have learned, you will be ready. You will be prepared to endure any suffering, any persecution men and women throw at you. That's why it's imperative to always be doing these things and continue doing them now. Because you never know when the difficult times are going to come, and you're not going to know where they're going to come from. It's much harder to batten down the hatches in the middle of the storm than it is before the storm arrives. Therefore, continue on what you have learned and have become convinced of, because everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Let's close in prayer. Father, we got to give you credit. You don't pull any punches. You don't do a bait and switch on us. You let us know. In this life, there will be trouble. In this life, there will be persecution, especially if we are truly desiring to follow you, if we're truly desiring to live out your truth, if we're truly desiring to share this wonderful news with those around us. We'll face persecution. It's a promise. Father, we're thankful that when we have opportunities to face persecution, we know that we're following your footsteps. We are suffering with you. You suffer for us. Therefore, we are able to endure suffering for you because we know you give us the strength to do that. Father, we pray that we would continue in what we have learned, that you would give us a deep desire to just know more. And through that knowledge, it wouldn't just be something that just sits in our brains, but it would be something that would impact and drop to our hearts, and it would allow us to just follow you even more passionately as we learn just how more amazing you are than we realize. Father, may that never grow cold in us. If it has, would you blow on those ashes and those embers and fan into flame a mighty desire for you. We thank you, Father, for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.